We're in Revelation chapter 3 for scripture reading this morning as we come to the seventh of the seven churches of Asia Minor and God's message to them. Revelation chapter 3, I'll be reading beginning at verse 14 down to the end of the chapter, and I am reading once again from the English Standard Version. And the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And Lord, our prayer this morning would be that you would give us ears to hear your Spirit, that you would speak, and that I wouldn't get in the way of what you want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. When you were in elementary school, any of you involved in just kind of a neighborhood club of some sort? A few of you that aren't afraid to admit it. Me too. I heard a story about an elementary school club created by some elementary school boys who were friends, and they realized pretty quickly that in order for the club to work, they were going to need to come up with some rules. You know, life's like that. Anytime you start interacting with people, you need some rules. So they came up with three rules. Here they are. Rule number one, no one acts big. Rule number two, nobody acts small. And rule number three, everybody acts medium. Not bad, you know? Not bad. Sometimes medium is a good thing. And sometimes medium is not a good thing. And in Laodicea, medium was not a good thing. We come to a church that the Lord of the church accused of being lukewarm. Interesting city, Laodicea. Really interesting city. Rich, wealthy, well-to-do. Known for actually its garment industry and the wool cloth that was made there. Home to a medical school. The city had been destroyed some years earlier I believe by an earthquake, and was wealthy enough to rebuild itself. Laodicea pretty much had it together. At least they thought they did. And then Jesus sends them a message. And it's a message that basically accuses them of living in lukewarm luxury. Something that Jesus, in effect, said makes him sick. You're lukewarm, and I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Well, what do you say to people who are living in lukewarm luxury? Let's take a look at the passage and find out. Remind you again of the structure of these messages. Jesus identifies himself in a way particularly appropriate to the particular church to which he is speaking. He tells that church, I know something about them. And in so doing, identifies the church. He has words of encouragement or exhortation or sometimes rebuke for them. He has a promise for overcomers. And then before the Lord of the church is done with any of these messages, there is for us an invitation as well. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So Jesus identifying himself first. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of, and that introductory phrase is the tip-off that Jesus is going to tell you something about himself. The words of the Amen. The words of the Amen. You know what Amen means? Yeah, may it be so, so be it. What would it mean if I called you the Amen? Would that be a good thing or a not good thing? Would you be comfortable being called the Amen? Yeah. Sometimes I wish I were the Amen. There have been times in my life when I wish that I could be the guy who would say it, and that's the way it would be. I have discovered over the years, repeatedly, I keep relearning this lesson for some reason, that's not the way life works. I say it, and maybe that's not the way it's going to be. Because sometimes I'm wrong. See, if you're going to be the Amen, you've got to have a pretty good track record of getting it right. Jesus said, I am the Amen. I'm the one that actually is able to say it, and that's the way it is. The one who is sovereign and authoritative is the one who is talking to you. The words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Both adjectives are important, faithful and true. What he says, he will do. What he says is true. Who do you know that has a 100% track record in being faithful and true? It's kind of tough. Kind of tough. The beginning of God's creation. I don't want you to misunderstand that phrase, and it's easy to misunderstand it. Jesus is not saying that he was the first thing that God created. That is not what he is saying. In fact, what he is saying is just about the opposite of that. The word beginning could also be translated as ruler, or the beginning point, the origin. He is the one who is sovereign over creation. He is the one who was there at the beginning. Church at Laodicea, he says. I'm the starting point for creation. I am the arche, the Greek word, the ruler of creation. So hopefully with that, he has their attention. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. And then he says, as he has said to each of the churches, I know your works. With some of the churches, he's gotten very specific about their works. But with Laodicea, he makes one very general statement about their works. Very general statement. I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. Sometimes medium is good, sometimes it isn't. So because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Apparently, medium is not good. What does he mean? This message to Laodicea reeks of the reality of the city of Laodicea. It's wonderful. Laodicea got its water supply from a town called Hierapolis, a few miles to the north. It was piped in through an aqueduct. And by the time the water got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. The Laodiceans knew all about lukewarm water because that was their water supply. Not only was it lukewarm, but the aqueducts, and you can see the ruins of one of them there, made of clay and ended up with calcium deposits in the aqueduct themselves that would occasionally have to be cleaned out from time to time. So by the time the water arrives in Laodicea, it is A, lukewarm, and B, has a taste that maybe you don't want. Several years ago, we were in Bath in England. And while we did not take advantage of the Roman baths there for which the city is named, we did take advantage of a place called the Pump Room, which is a wonderful restaurant built adjacent to those Roman baths. And in the Pump Room, there is, if you will, a pump where you can actually pump out some of the mineral water that is there for the Roman baths. Now, the Brits being the enterprising people they are, they actually sell glasses of this stuff to people who want to drink it in the restaurant. So we were stupid enough to get a glass. An experience that I can sum up for you in three words. It was awful. I'll give you another three words. Don't do it. Unless you want the joy of the experience of having actually done it. It was something. It was definitely something, but the something was not particularly good. That's pretty much the water supply at Laodicea. And Jesus, the Lord of the church, uses that daily reality in their lives to tell the Laodicean Christians, you're like your water. You're lukewarm and you don't taste good. I take a mouthful and I just want to spit it out. Not encouraging words, are they? And then he says, you know, you say certain things about yourselves. You claim that you're rich. And you claim to have prospered. And you claim that you need nothing. Verse 17, you say, I am rich, I prospered, and I need nothing. That is a verse that fits so well the culture of the Pacific Northwest. We are people who are independent, we need nothing. We can get along just fine, thank you. And whether we're as rich as we'd like to be or not, we can manage. That was Laodicea. You say you're rich. You say you prospered. And they had prospered. Vital wool industry. The folks in Thyatira made purple cloth. In Laodicea, it was black wool garments that they were known for. They'd prospered. They'd made good money selling those wool garments. I need nothing. Hey, Jesus, do you understand? This is the city that rebuilt itself. All by ourselves. We can do it. And the Lord of the church says to them, you don't realize the truth. Not realizing that you are wretched. Well, there's a good word to start with, isn't it? I don't know anyone that would like to be called wretched. You're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. That's the reality. You think you're rich and prosperous and don't need anything? But the reality is exactly opposite of what you think. You're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Is there hope for a church that lives in that kind of lukewarm luxury? Well, there is. Because Jesus has some encouragement for this church. And it's wonderful encouragement. It really is. You would think with the harshness of the diagnosis, you folks make me sick, is what he's saying. With the harshness of that kind of a diagnosis, Jesus would be ready just to forget them. But he's not. He's not. There is a gracious, gracious message of encouragement to this church. There's hope. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire. You need to get from me gold, pure gold. You need to quit relying on the riches you think you have. And you need to get your riches from me. I wonder if they're listening. White garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. To the Laodiceans, he would say, you know, you're so proud of what you're making, those wonderful garments, wool, and you haven't given a thought to dressing yourselves in the holiness that I will give you. Oh. Buy gold refined by fire, white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. And salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. There was a medical school at Laodicea known for creating an eye salve that was used to treat some of the eye ailments of the Middle East. The Lord of the church takes everything this city is proud of about itself and says to them, that's not gonna cut it. I can give you better. I can give you more. I can give you what does make a difference. You can use that stuff being churned out by the medical school as long as you want, but you're still going to be spiritually blind. And the Lord of the church says, I can take care of that problem for you. What incredible grace to this city of Laodicea. And then in case they're feeling beat up, verse 19, he says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. You don't have to look very far if you're looking for an answer to the question, why does the Lord of the church waste his time offering hope to the Laodiceans? The answer's right there. It's because I love them, he says. Those whom I love, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous and repent. And then he paints for them this beautiful picture of opportunity. Remember the message to the Philadelphia church? The church of the open door? Laodicea was the church of the closed door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The open door of Philadelphia is a closed door in Laodicea. And the opportunity that will be there if the door is opened is an opportunity for fellowship with the Lord of the church, who says, I'll come into you. We're dying together. We'll get to be together. Don't you want that? The door in Laodicea is not an open door that no one can close. It is a closed door that only the Laodiceans can open. And the Lord of the church has invited them to do so. And on the other side of that door, fellowship with the Lord of the church. What an offer. What an offer. And he adds the promise to the conquerors, verse 21. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Well, that sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? The one who conquers gets to sit on the throne with me. Don't miss what Jesus is saying here. It's huge. It's an incredible thing that he's saying. The one who conquers, I am going to do for you what God the Father did for me. Just the way the Father let me sit on the throne with him, I'm going to let you sit on the throne with me. Oh my goodness. If you were here last week, you may remember the bonus part of the message. You remember that? Don't do surgery on the Trinity. You need all three of them. It's kind of here again. The kind of fellowship that the Father and the Son enjoyed is a kind of fellowship that Jesus Christ wants to have with you and me. And the kind of fellowship that he wants us to have with each other. That was what he prayed in John 17. Wow. It's a heavy message, isn't it? I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I'm rich, I've prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Because what the Lord of the church said to Laodicea has a great deal to say to the contemporary American church today. We too live in the lap of comparative luxury, and often we don't really realize it. We too often have become content with medium, with lukewarm. Good enough. And we too need to hear the encouragement of the Lord of the church, who says, I'm standing at the door and knocking. And I would trust that if the Spirit is speaking to you about corners of your life where there are closed doors to God, that he will help you open those doors today in response to the invitation of the Lord of the church, who's knocking. Lord, help us to hear your knock in our lives. Give us ears to hear. Give us courage to open the door. Give us the joy that comes from an unfettered fellowship with you. Lord, light the fire again. We invite you to do so in our lives. To your gentle knock, we say, come in. Thank you, Lord, for inviting us to fellowship with you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.